Yeah, man. Like, all I, so like how I typically have done my podcast in the past, and I'm hoping this is gonna stay. But I just like do just normal, genuine conversations. Like, I never have any purpose or plan of like what is gonna be said. It's just like,
sure, more flowy.
Exactly. I look at it in terms of like, this is just a conversation that I was typically having with normal people.
Yeah.
Or that I normally would have had before doing this type of thing.
Yeah.
So I figure I might as well just share it as well too. This is, maybe it'll help other people find something.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Let's make sure not to unbuckle yourself when you have that, just so it doesn't fly out the window.
Oh yeah, no worries.
Or something like that.
I'm pretty aware of my
surroundings. Which I don't know, dude.
Do you know how to get there?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I got it. The whole self-awareness thing, dude, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, because I feel like the more self-aware I become, the harder it is for me to do certain things.
Yeah. So
it's kind of tough. But it's not too bad.
Do I need a flower? Yeah, man, I gotta find another assistant. It's kind of a bummer. Because we've been working for like, before this 3 month hiatus,
mm-hmm.
like maybe 3 months. So, you know how much work you can be done in 3 months with somebody. You also form like a, you could say lifestyle culture, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of hard to implement with people. You got to spend a lot of time with them to explain the brand and the type of person you're wanting them to be at work. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, do you think you have to spend a lot of time with them, or do you think it's just a matter of asking them the right questions,
giving them the right, like, guidance? I mean, it's there's variables in everything, right? So the two variables I see with this is, one, you got to train them and talk to them about it, or you have to find the one that already fits.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, already does yoga, or already does qigong, or already does video
editing, social or editing, like, and all that.
You know what I'm saying? And then it's easy to say, okay, our brand is about being healthy and being mindful of our well-being and just being good humans, right?
So, like, what's your understanding of brand to begin with, though?
My understanding?
Yeah.
It's something that somebody looks at and has a whole story out of a symbol or a word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you say Michael Jordan, you think of a bunch of shit, right?
Like, and I don't know much about basketball. I just know Michael Jordan. Like,
yeah.
The things that come to mind when you say him, like, what are the things that, like, his characteristics of his brand are, what exactly?
They would be, like, higher achieving, being the best. Flying, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Being a superhero type of thing. And that's just with what anybody puts into what they want the brand to be about. That's what branding is, right? It's like in the cattle, when you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Branding them to be a specific thing. So when someone looks at that cow, they say, hey, that's John's cow. That's the same thing with business branding, right? I want people to see my brand, Balanced Body and Mind, and something comes to mind of just, for my brand, I want people to feel empowered and feel hope and feel like they can achieve, you know,
mm-hmm.
and pretty much just empowered, that they can do it, they're capable of doing it, and place of refuge is what I've been told. One of my good friends, he always comes over. There's a thing there, a camera, so you might want to cool it on the gas. Yeah, you think jack you every time, bro.
What's that about?
Yeah, they just sit there, this dude in the back, and he's like, snap, snap, and they get you on the hill, you know, on the hill up.
Yeah, what a thing about it.
Yeah.
One of your friends, though,
and not him, just a lot of people I've noticed come to my house as like a refuge. One of my good friends, he comes over whenever he's about to explode.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes over to cleanse. So I help him through his life's journey, I guess, you know?
And is it kind of a, since you're helping him and it, he sees benefit or value in it, then you can help other people as well, too?
Well, no, he's told me this before, and I've said it before, it's like my place is like a place of refuge, mm-hmm. for people to come and not feel judged and kind of gain some strength, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of like a dojo, right? A dojo, mm-hmm. or a church, you know those vibes?
Yeah.
It's the same kind of vibe. I've just always had that about me. So it's not that when he came over, I've always had the need to want to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And that just stems from how I was raised. Like, I was raised with no dad there. So naturally, I had to learn those things that a dad would teach you. I had to learn that on my own, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you had to learn those things on your own, you know how it is to have to learn those things on your own. So when you witness other people and they're struggling, you naturally want to help them along their journey with those.
Can I not turn?
I don't know, man. I think this dude, what is that, a bike? Or no, it's just the front of the bumper.
Probably could have
turned. Oh, it's from that.
Yeah.
Dang, he's picking up his bumper by hand. That's a bummer.
Just whip a U-turn.
But, yeah, so that's where that came from.
Yeah, dude, it's the whole, like...
Everybody's the way, and I've been writing a book in my mind. I haven't put it on paper yet, but I have so many adventures I want to do. But it's a book about just trauma and your child, like how you're... I mean, things are so simple. People just don't think about them, right? So when you grow up, right, all of that influences why you do the things you do when you're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people are like, confused of like, oh, why do I do this? Why am I like this? Well, you know, maybe because your mom wasn't around, or maybe because your dad beat you, or I don't know. Whatever trauma you have, mm-hmm. is the reason of why you are the way you are. And it's flabbergasting because people are so clueless. Just look back at your childhood. There's all your answers.
Yep.
I don't know, man. I don't know. People are like sleeping, or I talk to my daughter a lot about this, and it's like, you know, I feel like people are zombies. You know, they're like not even alive, and you gotta like wake the fuck up.
So I've tried doing that for a couple months now, trying to shake people to wake up, but it's just like,
yeah.
You can't shake people. They gotta come to the realization themselves.
Yeah,
which is the hardest part, because I've been doing that for years. I've been like, you need to wake up, but I think I was doing it because like I wasn't looking at myself. Correct. Trying to get myself
mirroring.
Exactly.
Mirroring, yeah.
Yeah, mirroring and projecting. So I was just like, I can't. But yeah, it all stems from the childhood. But it's also like, do you think trauma is real, or do you think it's just something that we like use as a word, because like trauma didn't exist 100 years ago. And now we've started to make it so that, like, you have a traumatic experience.
Here's the thing, man. It existed 100 years ago. People mm-hmm. just didn't label it, yeah. You know? There's another conversation I was having with that same buddy he's an Indian dude. I'm Malaysian and Indian. Very cultured, kind of ethnic people coming to America.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that a lot of... first generation, the people that are born here.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so I'm first generation. So before that, when they migrate here, they're just ignorant. They're just really ignorant about mental health. Because the thing is those things you don't have time for that in another country or I don't know. I've never really lived heavily in another country, but even here, I guess in America, back in the day, you didn't have time for that, bro. There's fucking war going on. There's craziness is happening. And especially when you move here from another country, you don't know anybody. You got to try to find a job, and you have kids, and you got to take care of these kids and put them in school. You don't know the languages, right? So there's no time for mental health.
No.
Like, I'm just trying to feed you. You know what I mean? That's hard enough. So now, first generation comes in. And other people are just super lackadaisy. Like, I tell my kid this all the time. I'm like, you don't even understand how easy you have it, man. This is insane. Every Christmas, every birthday, like thousands of dollars of gifts for an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
It's absurd, man. Absurd.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's because there's grandma, grandpa, uncle, auntie, cousins, you know, all these people. But that's to my point. Is you're getting like a busload of toys and all these things, and everything's kind of handed to you, mm-hmm. where you don't appreciate, you're losing your humanity in a sense.
Exactly.
Because I don't believe money is the root of all evil, but there is some truth in that, where you need to, money isn't evil, it's how you use it.
Exactly.
Right? So, if you just give a kid all these things, they're not going to learn anything from that, because they're like putty and butter, right? Mm-hmm. They're not being shaped and molded into strong human beings. They're just still putty and oozing out. And it's like, we have to shape them. But if you give them all these things, here's $1 million, here's a Ferrari, here's whatever, there's no work ethic.
No.
There's no empathy. There's no... A lot of human emotions kind of go out the window, mm-hmm. because they don't exist.
Exactly.
Right? If I tell you, okay, you're not going to get nothing for your birthday, nothing for Christmas, and all this stuff, how do you think that's going to make them feel? They're going to get, you know...
Upset, sad, they're going to be...
Okay, and then I'm like, all right, next year, if you do these things, you're going to get this.
Yeah.
What do you think they're going to do?
They're going to do those
things. They're going to do those things. And they're going to learn hard work. They're going to learn, you know, all these things that you need to learn as a normal person, mm-hmm. normal human being, you know, in life. And I don't know, what were we getting at with this?
Well, I think a lot of that comes down to it. It's just work ethic, dude.
Yeah,
I mean, if you have work ethic, it's just training kids. And not even training, but it's just like kids are malleable. Like they learn from the other people that are around them.
Correct.
And if the people that are around them aren't doing worthwhile things and they're just getting handed like $1 million of Ferrari, they're gonna find no value in that specific thing. So that's where I just feel like a lot of like hard work, and like you being a first generation immigrant too, like there's a Maxwell, why can't I think of his name? Malcolm Gladwell. He talks about how like first generation immigrants are typically the people that have the like are the wealthiest, because they saw their parents and what they did growing up and how the hard work that they put in. So the first generation immigrants typically work harder than second generation immigrants.
Yeah.
And that's just typically how it works. But it's just like, I feel like we've lost this work ethic. And I feel like training, being fighters, like doing yoga, working out, like it translates over into like our real life.
Oh,
it's just
sure.
Nowadays, like, yes, it is easier, and like probably mental health is bigger because we aren't in war any longer. So like we have more time to focus on like other things, because we aren't fighting for our lives, so now it's like we're fighting for our minds type of thing.
Correct.
Which I just don't...
Different warfare.
Exactly. And, dude, the mental warfare, I feel like, is 10 times harder than, like, the physical warfare, because, like, physical shit, like, it's easy, but, like, mental shit, like, that shit's hard, man.
That's just the new war everybody's fighting. That's why it's so... It's such a big deal. Psychological warfare, bro.
Mm-hmm.
There's different types of neutralizing or suppressing people than just killing them.
Mm-hmm.
You can just suppress them, keep them kind of walking around like zombies.
Exactly. I think that's what you were saying earlier too.
It gets all conspiracy theorist-esque, but it's just like, man, I've always thought I was here for a purpose, like a freedom fighter type of guy,
mm-hmm.
and my family's from apartheid in South Africa, so and like fighting, rioting, freedom, and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm from that. I have some of that in me, and my journey, I've come to realize throughout the years of, you know, becoming a jiu-jitsu black belt, hopefully this year, and training, you know, various martial arts since I was like 12,
mm-hmm.
and getting heavily more involved in Qigong in the last 5 years, and enlightenment and finding Jesus Christ as well. It just a lot of very heavy, I don't know, man, heavy doses of life. You know what I mean? In and it just keeps getting heavier to the point of seeing society and people being the way they are. And the reason they're like this is because they're being manipulated, and they kind of don't even know it. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, so like, what? How did you come to the realization that you were being manipulated to like stop having that manipulation happen?
I was like 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah,
very young. I think having a lot of alone time is good for you.
100% agree.
I don't know if you're familiar with Miyamoto Musashi.
Yeah, the Seven Rings.
Yeah, five rings. So
is it five? Oh yeah, yeah.
So the book five talks a lot about isolation and understanding yourself. Mm-hmm. And then after you do that, you're understanding your enemy, and then you're pretty much good to go.
Yep.
And a lot of people skip the understanding myself phase. And they just move on to filling holes, mm-hmm. right? And they fill the holes by outside energy instead of internally. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the mental warfare that we're dealing with now. But yeah, man, it just really irks me. So. I'm feeling a calling, you know, kind of building up in the last couple of years, and just to kind of help society and try to unwind what's happening as best as I can day by day, and just kind of, you know, in the metaphor of just picking up other people's trash on the highway, you know, day by day, just cleaning up the world.
Exactly. I mean, that's all we can do, right? Like, can't change everybody all at once, but we can have an impact on one person at a time.
Exactly.
And I do think it's valuable to spend time alone. And I've always wondered, like, I always just assumed that people spend alone, like,
no,
time
bro.
By themselves.
No way. There's so many people that, like, they're afraid of being by themselves. And it's so weird to me.
Same.
Because I'm like, man, I love myself. Yep. Like, I like being by myself, but I like company too,
yeah.
But I'm not like afraid of myself.
No.
Like, I love hanging out by myself, you know? And it's that same thing. People's mind starts going and they don't want to deal with themselves, mm-hmm. which is even weirder to me because, like, you don't want to deal with your own self. Like, what?
How do you expect to deal with other people at
yourself?
That point in time?
Yeah.
How you're the one not? Person that you're going to be spending the rest of your life with. Like,
yeah.
You might as well enjoy that person.
And a lot of the stuff that, you know, that I'm talking about is, again, from how I was raised, what happened to me, you know what I mean? So I had a lot of time alone, so I understood being by myself thoroughly, you know what I mean? And then when I got older, and I was like, all right, I'm starting to look for relationships now, or maybe something's not working out, and I get kind of sad and depressed, and I'm like, man, I would like to find a wife, you know, that'd be cool.
Yep.
And then you get back into that pattern of, like, not falling in love with yourself again, but just kind of picking yourself up and kind of having some self-respect again, and like being like, all right, man, get up, you know what I mean? Go train, go do something.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, you know, 2-3 weeks. Like, get up, eat right, get back into being a healthy human being, right?
It's like move the body a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just like having self-respect and having some dignity again, because I don't know how. Heavy-hearted you are. I'm a very heavy-hearted person.
Same.
So if I have my heart open to somebody and then something happens, I'm pretty you know, burnt up about it, you know? And I kind of, you know, sulk and don't eat. And, you know, there's bad habits. Luckily, I've gotten out of those habits where at least now I eat and train. Now I put it into my jiu-jitsu, my mm-hmm. training now. Whereas before, when I was like a white belt, or even before I started training, this was like maybe 11 years ago, I would just lay there, right?
Yeah.
Now, if I break up with someone, something happens, it's an hour later. Yo, man, I need to roll. And they already know, all right, they're like, oh, man, this guy's going through some stuff. He's probably going to choke me up, throw me around, and toss me, and all this stuff. And there's some people that are, you know, they know this, right? So they know that it's kind of like You know how you have a probably have a boy or somebody that you, whenever something's wrong, you call that person. It's always that guy or so, that girl, or maybe your mom or your dad, or I don't know, whoever.
So that's the weird. I don't have anybody.
You don't got anybody? You gotta get somebody.
Bro. I got me for that shit.
You gotta get somebody, bro. You gotta get somebody. I don't know if you're religious, but you know, some source. Talk to source.
Yeah, that's what I do.
So it's the same thing in the fighting world, where it's like you have a buddy that understands this. Mm-hmm. They're like, all right, bro, let's fucking go to war.
Yeah.
Because they understand, because they do the same thing, so they know. I do it for, like, if somebody dies, somebody passes away, like when my aunt passed away, mm-hmm. I needed to train. I needed to, you know, get it out, you know. And there's just some people that you train with that understand this, because they train as well, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, you need an outlet. You need an outlet, and I guess the whole point of what I've been rambling about is just mental health and how I, you know, would like to insert myself.
And I also wouldn't consider it a ramble at all. Like, I just can say it's just like, that's just the things that you yourself have experienced firsthand, and you know that they work for you.
Cool. I appreciate that, man.
Like, yeah. I look at it more from that angle, dude, because, like, I do think there are people that do need other people. Yeah. And, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I give a lot to the people that I do put in.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, for me personally, like, the alone time, like, that's where I grow the most. So, like, me being out on, like, a run or a bike or a hike ride or, like, hiking or something like that in nature, and I get that silence, like, that's where I always go whenever I've had struggles or hardships.
Gotcha.
Because that's where, like, I just kind of, like, I just sit in the quiet and I put myself through something incredibly challenging and difficult.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, I feel better. Or, like, I'll just talk to myself. As weird as it may be, like, I'll make a video over it or whatever it is. And that's just where I've always found that growth.
Yeah.
Just because it doesn't seem like I've found a lot of people that have kind of understood me in the ways that I've wanted to, but it's also because I never truly, allowed myself to be open.
You got them open, you know.
Exactly.
And then they come, man. Yeah. Open the door.
It's hard, because when I have opened myself up in the past, like, and it ties back to the whole mental health thing, it's just like, then... If I open myself up and I'm rejected, then it's just like, well, all right. Well, why did I open myself up in the first place?
Sure, but that's just a destructive mindset, you know? You gotta,
exactly.
If you want something, you got to... Have you heard of the... I don't know if it's a quote or something, but it's either a quote or in a book or something. A true, honest, strong man is a man that's vulnerable and just goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
When you're actually closed up, you're not strong at all, because you're putting up this wall, right? Saying, I need this wall here.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're an actually strong person, you're strong enough without the wall.
Yep.
Right? And it's hard.
Yeah.
Hard, because, you know, you're open, and people come around, they mess with you and come in and blah, 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 mess with your heart a little bit with the strings. Beep, beep. You know, they just pull at your heartstrings or whatever. And then you're like, all right, man, but you learn how to, control it, and you learn how to radiate at a different frequency, mm-hmm. right? And then when you start doing this, and this is what Qigong has taught me, when you start doing this, then you only attract this certain, you know, the law of attraction, you probably don't know this, and do you know about, frequency and syncing your heart?
A little bit, but it's like
that. So if you are a very aggressive, not aggressive, if you're a very masculine male,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to attract a very masculine woman.
True.
You're going to attract the polar opposite, right? Like a magnet. So if you're trying to, you know, you're thinking about why is this always happening, or why is this always happening? It's because of what we're putting out, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're putting out something and you're like, man, I got hurt. I always get hurt when I open up. You gotta come out with it. And I was talking to one of my girlfriends about this. She's just a friend. But that whenever you're trying to start something,
mm-hmm.
right, you can't start it off with intentions in the wrong direction already.
True.
Right? So if I'm trying to find, you know, love, or trying to find a friend or something that you're, you know, want to talk to, right? And you open up, you can't go over there and be like, oh, okay, here's this motherfucker again. He's doing that same stuff. Or you know, you meet somebody new and you're like, man, they kind of remind me of this. I hope they don't screw me over. You got to come in with what you want, mm-hmm. and it's got to be authentic from your heart. Like, it's got to radiate the authenticity of what I want, you know? I can't be like, oh, I want a hamburger, but my heart really likes chicken sandwiches, which is true. I love chicken sandwiches. So if I'm like saying out loud, I want a hamburger, I want a hamburger, I want a hamburger.
But your heart is saying.
My heart's like, man, sandwich. I want this chicken sandwich, man.
Yeah.
So it's not gonna, it's gonna kind of like your signals are being, your wires are crossed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's not gonna project properly. And that's when you get those psychopathic people, or you get people that are energy vampires, or they just take. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Or they screw you over is what you were saying.
Yeah.
That's when you get those people, is because you're attracting those people, right? So when you open the door, you should come outside, stretch, this is great, man. I feel good. I can't wait for it. And this is all metaphor.
Of course.
I feel great. Let me welcome whoever comes with open arms. Mm-hmm. And then someone comes. Maybe they're a little dirty. This is all metaphorical again. Maybe they're a little dirty. You're like, they need to take a shower. So immediately your mind is a little bit like, what? Mm-hmm. A little bit defensive. But see, you're not putting out the right signals again.
True.
Because you're judging. Immediately you're judging, going back to your old patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, all right, maybe they got a little dirt in their hair or, whatever. But maybe you don't know his story. He's probably a nice person, or she's probably a nice person. You don't know, right? But immediately your defenses are up, and our heart is signaling, fuck this, get out. And you never give this person a chance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
maybe they're an amazing person. Whereas if you were to radiate, and it also works in another fashion too, where the energy that you put out doesn't even attract. Like, so if you say I was being authentic with that scenario,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't even attract that person with the dirt on them. You would just attract someone that's glowing.
True.
Because your heart's putting it out.
Yeah.
It works just like magnets, bro. It's crazy. And the reason why it's kind of, works in magical ways, and people are like, well, I tried that and it didn't work, is because you weren't being real about it. Maybe you tried it for a day, mm-hmm. and then you got sour again and were like, man, fuck this, I'm not gonna do that again. I met someone yesterday at the grocery store, I said hi to him. I do this all the time, and I use it as practice.
Yeah.
I go to the grocery store where you see the most people, and you're at a lot of the time, and there's always random people, and I always do it, look them right in the eye, and I say hello,
yep.
or good day or something, and I know they're gonna scuff, because usually they do. They're like, what's this, whatever. They give
it's
me
like, it. What's he trying to get out of this or something?
Or they
like
just scuff you, right?
Because yeah.
they're like not very, people aren't very friendly, man, sometimes.
I have noticed that.
It's not personal.
No.
So if I immediately am like, man, people suck, because this guy or girl snuffed me when I said hello,
mm-hmm.
I like to talk to males in the protein aisle or health aisle, because our bodies aren't the same as females. I can't be like, hey, how do you, if someone's really stacked or whatever, I'll be like, bro, you got to tell me, just give me some secrets of what you're doing to get this physique or whatever. I'm not going to go up to a girl and be like, hey, how do you get really stacked and ripped as a male? You know what I'm saying? So I'll engage in these things purposely, and usually, you don't get the right response. Sometimes you do get the right response, but you can't let that deter you. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Of thinking of, okay, fuck this. Now this person did me like this, now I'm done. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I use the grocery store training as an example to help. That's what I do personally. And then sometimes you do get those nice reactions. It's usually from someone in the older demographic, like mm-hmm. 50 years and up, and it's usually a woman. 50-year-old ladies are usually pretty solid of being happy, go lucky people.
Yeah.
Old men, not as much. They get really grumpy sometimes because they're, they can't move around as much
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Yeah.
But I found the demographic that has the highest rate of that, just I guess compassion,
mm-hmm.
is older late ladies, grandma.
Yeah.
Because every time, hello, they're like, hello, hi, and I'm like, oh man, that made my day, thanks, man. You know, because there's some people, again, they're just losing how to be a human, bro. Like, You know, I understand you're rough and you're having a bad day and whatever, but, you know, don't take it out on it. If everybody would just smile more, you know, and just be like, hey, and be more open, it's all because of fear.
Yep.
Fear drives a lot of people, what I've noticed. And this is another chapter in the book that I'm writing, and it's about fear. The book, I'm trying to make it in a gradual, linear fashion. Of like, you, when you read it, it's kind of like you read it from when you're born and how the psyche grows and
evolves
through time. And at the end of the book, it's like you're like, I'm 35. I'm actually not 35. I'm using this hypothetically. Mm-hmm. I'm 35 and I'm reading the book. By the end of the book, it's like when I'm 35. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the book, you need it. It's only gonna work if you're after 30 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can read it if you're younger, but studies have shown that when someone turns 30, in that bracket is when the childhood trauma, it comes out. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you can be 22 and the trauma doesn't even exist.
Yeah.
Like, because it's so subconscious that it hasn't even came, the onion
hasn't
layer hasn't even been pulled back yet.
Yep.
So when you're 30, that layer pulls back of like, oh shit, you know what I mean? And it usually comes out with kids and marriage. Because you get married to somebody and you go through that honeymoon phase.
Yep.
And then after the honeymoon phase is when that honeymoon
starts to pull back and it's like, oh, here's all this other shit.
And there's the trauma, that's where the trauma comes out. And then people don't understand this and they're like, they call it that, you know, I don't know what I forgot what it's called, but they have a name for it. My brain moves faster than my mouth sometimes.
I'm right there with you, man, so I get it.
And it's after the honeymoon phase where all those chemicals aren't being produced as much, and it's more of like you go back to your family, like when you grew up. So one of my triggers is physical touch, like getting a hug, right? Or someone just saying, being positive.
Yeah.
Because when I grew up, it was very a negative, perfectionist, you know, Asian culture of like, you need to do 5 million things, and you need to get 6 million A's, and you need to do a backflip while you're writing an essay.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is happening here? And then you do some of those things, and you don't get a hug, and you're like, bro, give me a hug. You're not saying it because you don't understand.
Yep.
I talked to my mom about this when I was older, and I'm like, man, you would have saved me a lot of trouble if you would have just gave me a hug every now and then. And I'm like, man, like so much would have been saved.
Yeah.
So much would have been saved. And I'm just talking about like the struggles I've had to go through to kind of overcome a lot of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just crazy when you think of how I always call humans very weak. Like, they're just weak creatures, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you come out of the womb.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't do nothing.
Yeah.
Can't do nothing.
Can't lift your head up.
You
can't walk.
And you look at giraffes, and you look at cows, and you look at snakes and all these things. And they come out, and they're like, swim in the ocean. A turtle comes out. A turtle comes out. He makes that dash to the water. Mm-hmm. And there's things chasing him, and hawks. And you know what I'm saying? I'm getting stressed now talking about it.
So I think that's the great part about like being human, though. It's like, so like they have their, everything's predetermined within them.
Correct.
We at least get to determine where our lives go.
Correct.
Which I think that's more the beneficial thing, because like but like we do have those same mechanisms within them. Like animals are goal strivers. So like a turtle has to, like when it's born, like its goal is to get back into the ocean.
Yep.
For us, we get to determine what our goals are.
Correct.
So like our goal could be to create a book or have a course or help other people.
Correct.
So then our servo mechanism, our brain, will help us get to that place.
Correct. Correct. We're very internal creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think we're more internal than we care to consider.
Yeah, we're bro.
It's all internal.
If you're standing up, just think of how pathetic we are. You just stand up straight, okay? And you stand up like this, like this. Mm-hmm. And if I just shove you over the curb, and you hit your head on the curb, you're dead.
Exactly.
You're dead.
Yeah.
You're dead.
Yeah.
Done. You know what I'm saying? Any other creature, they're pretty much fine. Mm-hmm. They're okay. I saw this duck, and he jumped off of, I kid you not, it was like 2 miles up of a drop. Mm-hmm. Maybe not that high, maybe a mile of a drop. And he has his wing out, and he's, catching air.
Yeah.
Like trying to slow his resistance.
Down or something
he's
like trying
to have some resistance to the air.
Yeah.
Some drag. And he's coming down, and then he hits, bang! He hits the ground, and he's like, upside down like this. And I'm like, holy moly, this guy's dead, dude, he's tuckered out. And then like a second later, bah! And then he's like, and he turns over and he walks off. And I'm like, what is happening here? And it's the bones, you know, and how they're made.
Mm-hmm.
But humans, bro, we're magic, magnificent beings. I'm just talking about, you know, physically, just so fragile. So fragile. Emotionally as well. But we have, the thing is, yes, we do have the option to make ourselves strong.
Exactly.
But that's circling back for this whole talk is mental health is paramount.
Well, so it comes down to a choice, dude. Like, do you
nice
want to
catch.
Change? Thank you.
But the thing is people is like they work out, they get all buff, and then you go home and cry all day, like. Internally cry, right? Or
sometimes externally cry,
or externally,
too, like,
you know?
Which there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm there's nothing wrong with crying, bro. I cry all the time,
same,
bro.
Man.
I'm a fucking crybaby, but I'm talking about I'm talking about crying for the right reasons.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Right? Me and you are probably crying because we're trying to heal.
Mm-hmm.
They're crying because they're feeling unfulfilled and unhappy and depressed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mine's more like grieving over certain things.
Correct.
Letting go of certain aspects.
Yeah.
Growing into like my next new
well you're dealing reborn. You're probably dealing with all of your trauma
exactly
when you I mean don't get me wrong when you do work out and push weights you can get to a place of release
mm-hmm.
but you have to focus it right
yeah.
A lot of people don't understand why like you could have a good workout and get all emotional and they're like man why am I getting emotional and then just shrug it off man oh stop being a punk or whatever
mm-hmm.
and it's like okay you're getting emotional because there's certain, a lot of people don't understand that you hold trauma in your muscles, right?
Yep.
And that's why it gets released when you work out. So if I, you know, you're doing a certain workout, those certain muscles are, attached to grief or maybe, when you were six, your grandma died or something and,
mm-hmm.
You never really
processed it or acknowledged it.
And then now it's coming out when you're an adult out of your workout.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just education and people. But a lot of it, what it comes down to is, even if you do educate them and you do all this stuff, the fear over controls them. So it's like you need to empower them first. You need to get rid of the fear,
mm-hmm.
remove the fear, and then give them the tools to keep moving, right? But the fear is the biggest thing, bro, because I've tried almost my whole life to heal, like I try to heal people, and
mm-hmm.
it's like you use your own energy bank.
Yep.
I'm learning a new type of qigong that I started last month
mm-hmm.
that you use external qi, so you don't waste your own battery.
That's smart.
So that's what I've been studying lately, and then hopefully I'll be able to be using it in next year. It takes like a year.
Well, it's also almost like you're tapping into like the universe, infinite intelligence,
exactly.
instead of you having to tap into
yeah, you're not
your
taking
own.
Into your own. But you also learn how to tap the energy from the heavens and the earth and bring it into yourself. So if you're low, you can fill it up
mm-hmm.
quicker, way quicker. And then have excess. And sometimes you have excess, and then you use that excess to heal people.
Yeah, dude, because there's been people that I've been around where it's just like, I feel so drained after I'm done with it. Like,
yeah,
after
yeah.
I hang out with them, and I'm
yeah.
like,
you need your own. You need to fill your own cup.
Exactly.
Cup.
Which that's what I, dude, after you texted me the whole, like, self-love thing after I told you what I did last, like, after this, I was like, oh, so that's what that feels like. And then I got emotional afterwards, and I was like, fuck.
Yeah, okay. man.
So I
got to
yeah.
do
more of this type of thing.
That self-love is the son of a gun, bro. I was big on that, like, a couple of years ago as I was dealing with heavy things, and, you know, it's just a great,
it's just hard,
magical though. Thing, bro, when you actually love yourself and, when you over, like when you're going through adversity, mm-hmm. and you're just telling yourself, it's, "We're gonna get through this, brother. I love you, man," and you honestly mean it. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling, bro.
I love it.
There's nobody here. This is great.
Hey, you wanna give me the mic real quick?
Yeah.
I think that worked out pretty good, dude. Didn't even feel like 45 minutes.
Nah, that was a pretty heavy. I think that was a bomb ass talk.
Like, yeah, these are the talks that I have all the time, dude. So yeah. I feel like there's value in them.